I want to be clear on something, that I'm not talking about salvation this morning. When I say fellowship has a price, I'm not talking about the basics, the fundamentals of salvation. You could never pay for your salvation. There's nothing you could do to earn it. And even though you might try to earn it, it doesn't work. Going to church doesn't earn you a place in God's church of heaven. There's nothing you can do by giving of yourself to earn salvation. Salvation is a free gift that comes from God himself. For by grace are you saved. Amen. There was nobody on earth that could earn their right into heaven. God had to send his own son to do that. Earth did not even operate with the right currency to be able to pay sin's debt. It took God to send down from heaven his own son to pay the price for you and I to have salvation. None of us can earn that. So I'm not talking about earning salvation. But when it comes to walking in fellowship with Christ, when it comes to walking as a believer and obtaining great and precious promises and gifts from God, there is a price to pay. If you want the blessings of the Lord to be upon your life, then there is a price that is paid in our life to walk in that fellowship. Doesn't the Bible teach us that unless the two agree, they can't walk together? There needs to be an agreement between me and the Savior, that we agree one with another, and therefore in fellowship one with another, the blessings can flow. He can bless me, I can bless him. And unfortunately, in today's Christian world, we have translated the whole concept of salvation into the concept of fellowship with Christ. There's many people who are saved but don't have proper fellowship. Come on now. I know it's 8:30, but somebody say amen. There's people who God has redeemed through the blood of the Lamb that they've said, that's it. That's as far as I go. I'm saved. No, there's more to it now. There's a walk that needs to happen now. There's a life that needs to change now. There's a transformation process that should set in your life, in your heart, in your mind. And there is a price that is paid for that to take place. Doesn't the Bible teach us that we are to draw nigh to God and he draws nigh to us? That God wants to have fellowship with us. That salvation is nothing more than allowing you to have access to a relationship with God that you normally would not have had without Christ. So the salvation is the entering process. Doesn't the Bible teach us that there is a price to be paid when Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way"? Isn't that a price? Isn't that a price that has to be paid? There's a price that must be paid for that fellowship. And unfortunately, many people will not pay that price because the cost is awful high. And I'm as your pastor, I am not asking you to be a part-time service to God. I'm not asking you to serve the Lord in partiality or just give him your Sunday mornings. I'm asking you to surrender your entire life for the cause of Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to die to your own will and your own self and come to the place where Christ lives in you, not you and not you anymore, but come to a place where you are no longer existing, but Christ is existing inside of you. Your hands, they do what God wants you to do. Your feet go where God wants you to go. I mean, does a man become a farmer because he walks into a field? Does he? No, he has to have a relationship with the field, don't he? Let's call that work. Amen? He's got to get in the field. He's got to till the field. He's got to make sure that the seed is planted properly. He's got to protect it when it grows from any type of insects or disease that would come. He's got to water it. He's got to take good care of it. The farmer pays a price so that he can have what the harvest that he's looking for. If you want things in your life from Christ, there is some price to pay when it comes to fellowship. Many people want the anointing of the Holy Ghost without the price. Come on, somebody. Amen. Many people want the anointing of the Lord without paying that price. You're going to have to learn that the price is, you can't get away from that. God doesn't just divvy out the gifts without the price. The idea is that he needs to be able to trust you. He needs to be able to trust you then with the gift that he gives you. If God gives you a gift to use, he needs to know that you're not going to use it for your glory, but you're going to use it for his glory. I mean, does a man become a doctor because he knows his way around a hospital? No, there's effort that takes place, right? Does a man become a lawyer because he walked into a courtroom? No, there's a price that is paid to obtain that. And neither do you become a Christian because you walked into church. Come on, amen? You don't. You're a Christian because of who you relate yourself with. You're not just a Christian on Sunday morning. You're a Christian on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and Thursday morning. You're a Christian even in the evening time. You're a Christian when it's good. You're a Christian when it's bad. You're a Christian when it's falling apart. You're a Christian when the world's going nuts. You're a Christian when the family's going nuts. You're a Christian in all circumstances of life because Christians is not it's not something you just attend and become a part of. It's a transformation in your entire life. Let me give you some descriptions of the price of fellowship. This is what Peter said. Peter 4, 1 through 2. Look at this. Arm yourself with the same attitude he had, speaking about Christ. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. So Peter is saying, listen, don't arm yourself with your fleshly mind. Arm yourself with the mind of Christ. That's fellowship, my dear friend. That's fellowship. There's a price that is paid to arm yourself with that mindset. And then you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own evil desires. If your mind is to please Christ, you'll set aside your evil desires and you will do the will of God. Peter said that is the price that is paid for that. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 2:20. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. How many like? I like this one. As a matter of fact, I got to go back to the King James every time I go because I quote this one in King James Version. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. Christ lives in me. That's a price, isn't it? Isn't that obvious that if I'm crucified with him, I pay a price for this fellowship? Paul said this, I die daily. I die daily. That is a price that is paid for fellowship. If you want some of these things from the Lord, or maybe you're asking God for some of the great blessings that you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, or maybe you're seeking for God to use you in a gift or use you with your family and friends. If you want that, don't be afraid to pay the price, but pay the price so that you can have what you're asking God for. Jesus put it this way. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus made it plain. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Whoa. I don't think it gets any plainer there, right? Is there a price to pay for fellowship with Christ? Yes. Deny who you are. Why do we have to deny who we are? Because in our mind and in our heart is all kinds of wickedness. I'm always fascinated by people who are trying to justify their mind and heart, because they always say, the Lord knows my heart. He does. That's why he sent his son. He knows it. He knows it. Jeremiah said, the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. That's what the Bible tells us about our own heart, about our own right. You know what the Bible says about our righteousness? It is like filthy rags. You know, the reference there is to the idea of it's going to be bold, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is that all right? It's 8:30. You can handle some tough stuff, right? Filthy rags. The idea of filthy rags is like a woman with a menstrual cycle rag. That's what God describes with when it comes to the righteousness, our own righteousness, filthy rags. But when Jesus comes, he gives us his righteousness. He imputes that upon us, and then we walk in fellowship with Christ. So deny himself, and then look, take up his cross. What is that? The very thing you die on every day. What is that? That's the weight of what it costs. You know, sometimes if you serve God, it isn't always going to be easy. It isn't always going to be a piece of cake, my dear friend. sometimes it's going to be difficult. You're going to have to learn that there's a cross to bear. When someone makes fun of you because you believe in Jesus, bear your cross. Amen? When someone mocks you because you love the Lord, bear your cross. I've had people literally say, you're ignorant. And they have no clue what I know, but they call me ignorant because I love Jesus. That's my cross. I'll bear that. That's no problem. Because the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And the foolishness of the world, they say the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But for me, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen? And for everyone that believes, it is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. If you're going to walk with Christ, there's a denying of the self, there is a taking up of the cross, and then there is a following. There is a pattern of following in your life. There is a price that is paid. Now look at this. Look at Jesus said this too in Luke 14. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be. You hear that? Cannot be my disciple. So let me go back to my point. Is there a price of fellowship? Yes. There is a price to fellowship. You have to pay that price. And you have to be willing to do it, my dear friend. You can't say, I'll pay it on Monday, but not on Tuesday. No, there's gotta be a pattern of following after him. Amen. You see, Jesus isn't looking for distant followers. He's not looking for people like Peter when Jesus was captured taken captive in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said that Peter followed Jesus, not close up, but from afar off. You see, many people keep Jesus at arm's length. Hey, when I need you, I'm going to come to you. When I want you, I'm going to come to you. When I'm desperate, I'm going to come to you. But God isn't looking for that. Jesus isn't looking for that. He's not looking for distant followers. He's looking for people who want to get real close, real personal, want a real relationship. He's looking for something that is alive and real in people's lives. And so Christ wants you to draw nigh to him. And as James said, you draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. When you take one step, God takes massive steps towards you. All you have to do is be willing to pay the price for that. There's a price to stay close, isn't there? Husbands and wives, is there a price to stay close? Yes, it is. Every now and then she wants flowers, man. That's a price, amen? But when it comes to that, to fellowship with our wives, there has to be a price that is paid for that type of fellowship. You have to understand that you can't be a distant follower. Could you imagine a couple who never talked to each other, slept in separate rooms, and never said one word to each other throughout the day, and they're supposed to be married? What kind of marriage would that be? But yet, don't we do the same sometimes with God when we say, hey, I am a spouse to you. You are my Savior. I am the bride of Christ. And then we tell him he can't be over here right now. We push him aside sometimes. There is a price that is paid for that fellowship. Some people only follow Jesus for the fishes and the loaves. They want Jesus because he provides. I want you to know something. Jesus will always be a provider for you. You hear me? He will never fail you. Even when you forsake him, he don't forsake you. I want you to know that about your Savior. Because there are many people in the 5,000 that Jesus fed with the fishes and the loaves. These people, they just were there for the fishes and the loaves and the healing and all. That's all they were there for. There are some people that's all they want from God is the handout. But God isn't looking for people that just want a handout. He wants devoted disciples. Amen. Devoted disciples and fellowship at that level has a price. To Judas, Jesus was only worth 30 pieces of silver. That's all he was worth. To the rich young ruler, Jesus wasn't worth everything he had. I want you to catch that. Now the problem is this. This is the problem. Many people don't understand the value of Jesus Christ. He is the most valuable thing you could ever have. The most valuable relationship in your life is not your husband, it's not your wife, it's not your kids, your grandkids, none of those things. The most valuable relationship in your life is Christ Jesus. Oh, that deserved a better amen than that. Amen? He is the greatest relationship in your life. He's the one who will bless your marriage and strengthen your marriage. He'll make you a good father, a good grandpa. He'll make you a good mother, a good grandmother. He'll make you what you need to be for those people. Do you know when I pray, I say, God, make me a good husband. Jesus, make me a good father. Make me a good pastor. I know that if I have Jesus close to me, that I am better and better. I'm better at anything I do, and things get done quicker if I put him and make him involved in it. Amen? And there are things in our life that we got to be willing to pay that price. The problem is not understanding the value. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew 13, 44. He said this, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hid in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The problem with some people is that they look at the field, but they never take a stroll in it. Do you know that Jesus is looking for some people who are willing to take a stroll? It was the psalmist that said, taste and see that the Lord is. Somebody finish that. Amen. The Lord is good. That's what it's all about. That fellowship with Christ, this fellowship that has a price that is paid. The man comes into the field, he's walking through the field, and he finds this treasure, and it's hidden in the field. Nobody knew it was there. They didn't catch it. Do you know that that's one of the things about the gospel that is most interesting? Is that the people of the religious people of Jesus' day was standing in front of the Messiah but never got it. It was hidden. But here's the thing, God has opened your mind and you have captured the truth of the hidden treasure in the field. Now, what are you doing about that treasure? Because on Sunday, it's good, but on Monday, what are you doing about that treasure? What are you doing about Jesus? What are you doing about this wonderful gift that God has given? This treasure that's hidden in the field. And then, look, notice what this guy does. When the man found it and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has, all that he has. Now the idea is don't, I'm not telling you to go home and drain your bank account. I'm not telling you to do that. That's not what the point is. The point is this, God wants all of you. All of you. That's the point. The idea is that he should not only have your finances, he should have your heart. He should have your mind. He should have your home. He should have your life. He should be the one. You might be a father or a mother, but he should even have your children. I mean, he should have all of it. He should have everything. God wants you to give him the right to those things in your life, to give him the authority of those things. He sells all that he has and he goes and he buys that field. Why? Because there's treasure in that field. Many people don't grab the treasure that's in the field. They miss it. They come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and they enjoy the presence of God they feel in the house. They enjoy the fact that Jesus came and died for them, but they're missing one thing. They haven't followed close. The power of this gospel is in the closeness of him. That's when your worship will become dynamic. That's when the reading of the Bible, the pages of the book will come off the page and grab you in your heart. That's when you pray and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. That's when you will receive gifts and power from God. When you are staying close to him. And you're walking with him in fellowship. And you're close enough to know who he is. And he's close enough to know what you're doing. That kind of fellowship. But people miss the value. They don't see that Jesus is worth it all. I want you to know he's worth it all. He's worth it all. He's worth it all. He's worth it all. I said he's worth it all. He's worth everything this world can offer. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. take this whole world, but give me Jesus. That's what the song says, and that's how it goes. We want Jesus. The world cannot give you what Jesus can give you. You might have money, and you might have all the things this world can offer you, but you will not have the peace that comes that passes understanding. You will not have the joy that comes that gives strength to your heart. You'll miss those things, and what good is the riches of the world if you lose your soul? The joy of this salvation is in the closeness of God. And there's a price that is paid for that fellowship. And I want to encourage you to be willing to pay it. Not be afraid to pay it, but pay it with joy. Pay it with gladness. And say, I'm glad to pay it, for I found something greater. I found something greater than money. I found something greater than anything this world can give me. I found it greater than my job, greater than the family, greater than my boss. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you love your mother or father more than me, you're not worthy of me. We don't hear that kind of preaching anymore today, do we? But Jesus isn't playing second fiddle to nobody. He's not in the back seat, not in the back room. He wants to be right up in the business, right up in your business, amen? Right up in your life. He wants to be right there and part of it. He wants to be the one who makes the decisions, and you turn to him and say, what do you want me to do? The problem is we try to make Jesus our co-pilot and give him advice. Jesus doesn't want to be co-pilot. I like what one preacher said. He said, one guy came to him and said, you know, hey, I see that you have the Spirit of God on you, and I want that same Spirit, and what can I do? And he started talking about how his church was successful. He had a great program. He had great things. And the preacher literally looked at him and said, oh, you can't have this. You can't have the Spirit of God. And he said, what do you mean? He said, you've already told me what you've been doing without him. Why in the world would you think that you're going to get him now? And he said, if you want the Spirit of God, this is how you get it. He said, it's like a car. You got to give Jesus the keys, and you get in the back seat. And then the preacher said, wait. I'm sorry. Forget the back seat. He said, I know what you'll do if you're in the back seat. You'll lean over, and you'll take the wheel from Jesus. He said, so what you need to do is you need to go to the back of the car, open up the trunk, climb in, hand the keys to Jesus, slam the door to the trunk, whisper through the keyhole, you take it where you want to from here. I'm in the trunk. That's how it works from now on. Because that's what Jesus is looking for. Let me ask you something. Do you honestly believe that God would ever steer you wrong? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit would ever harm you or hurt you or lead you to a place that he couldn't keep you? There is nothing in this world that could ever separate you from the love of God. Isn't that powerful? Isn't that powerful? That's awesome. The love of God, you can't be separated from it. Now, many people never look beyond the surface. Many people don't take a stroll in the field. But let me give you two things that I find that give purpose to paying the price. Number one, we will pay the price if the motivation is love. I am willing, without question, to pay the price to take care of my kids, take care of my wife, because I love them. When the motivation is love, there's no problem in paying it. Matter of fact, there's a joy in it. There's a sense of satisfaction in it. When my wife says, I'd like to get a new outfit, I don't look at her and go, nah, you don't need one. You got a closet full of all kinds of things. No, out of love and joy, I go, yeah, babe, let's go get you a new outfit. Go get what you want, you know. And the Lord's good. Let's do it. When the Lord provides, let's do it. And so she'll do that, and she'll go get an outfit. Or when the kids need new clothes, and honestly, it's like my son drinks growth stuff, and he just keeps growing and growing. And so we have to buy him clothes all the time. We buy him jeans, and next thing you know, he's got high waters like 2 months later. And so we got to buy him more jeans. And I don't look at him and go, you're killing me here. I buy it for him because I love him. I don't want him wearing high waters. Even though it's a thing now. They're called capris. Amen. I just don't think in our country that men wear capris. Amen. When the motivation is a love, there is a joy in paying it. So my question comes to this is the question I have for you, Christian. Christian, do you love Jesus enough? Do you love him more than these? Didn't Jesus ask Peter 3 times, do you love me more than these? The idea is do you love me more? Jesus said, if you love your father and mother more than me, then you're not worthy of me. Do you love me more? How much do you love him? I tell my wife, I love you, but there's been a clear line, a distinct line drawn. I told my wife, I love you, but I love my Jesus more. I tell my children, I love you, but I love my Jesus more. I know some people say, well, that doesn't sound right. Let me tell you, it does sound right. Because through the love of God, I can be a good husband, a good father. I can do right by my family through that love. And so when the motivation is a love, we are willing to pay that price. And we don't care. It's not a drudgery to us. It's not something we go, oh, you know, I wish I didn't have to. We want to. That's why the psalmist said, I'm glad. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because they love to be in the presence of God. They love to be in the house of the Lord. That's what this is all about. That when the motivation is love, we'll pay the price. It don't matter what it is. It don't matter what it is. We will pay that price. Some of you know that I'm a collector of tools. I have a lot of tools. I like tools. My favorite store is Harbor Freight. They have cheap tools. That's why I like them. Cheap usually means breaks down after the first use, but they have a lifetime warranty, praise be to Jesus. And I like tools. I literally, in my garage, have tools that I've never opened, but they're in my garage. Some people collect cars, I collect tools. Some people collect baseball cards, I collect tools. Some people collect marbles, I collect tools. That's what I love. When I go to Harbor Freight, I could spend hours in there. I know every aisle. I know everything that's in there. I walk by and I look at it and I go, I could use you. You're nice. There are things that I want to get because I love tools. I have never paid too high of a price for one. Never. Matter of fact, I bought things. My wife just goes, I can't believe you're spending that money on that. That's how she talks to me, amen. Why are you buying that? You're not. I bought tools that I've used one time and spent a lot of money on it, but I would go outside and look at it and go, I got you. Amen. I got you. One time she made me sell a tool. I bought a big cement mixer, and it was one that I was so proud of it. It was a man mixer. I looked at it, my testosterone level raised to the roof. It was manly. It just had a right look. And I bought that thing, and I used it here at the church, and I convinced my wife I needed it, and I only needed it for like 3 jobs, but I'm sure I could use it again. You know, that's what I said to her. And I go, it's better to do that than pay somebody else. That's how I sold it. I bought that thing. And then a couple other jobs came around, and I called the concrete company to come out and bring me concrete. She goes, what's that mixer doing out there if you're calling the concrete company? I go, well, you got to pick up the bags, and, you know, that's hard. It's a lot easier to have the concrete company come just bring you the mud, and you just put it down. And she says, well, maybe you should sell it. You speak blasphemies, woman. After time, she convinced me to sell it because, honestly, it was just sitting there. I wasn't using it. And so she convinced me to sell it. And when I saw the guy hook it up, it had its own trailer, brother. I mean, it had its own trailer. You pulled it behind your truck. That's how much more manly could you get? When I watched him hook it up, and my heart just fell. Because I love tools. I love them. It's my hobby. It's my thing. It's what I collect. Some women love Hobby Lobby. I love Harbor Freight, right? out of love, I've never paid too high a price. I've lost more money than you can imagine on tools. But that's okay to me. It's not too high a price. When you love Jesus that much, it's never too high a price. Amen? Never too high a price. Now listen, I got one more point and then I'm finished. We will pay the price if the motivation is love. We will pay the price based on our need. They say some of the greatest inventions of all time have been based on need. The invention of electricity was based on a great need, wasn't it? How many love to go in your kitchen and turn your lights on? Come on, I like that. I like modern stuff. I like central heat and air. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Amen. I like that it was probably 20 degrees outside, but my house was a nice toasty 69-70. Come on, amen. I like that. I like the modern technology because most of these things are based on our need. We are in need of them, and then we invent them. We realize that a wheel doesn't go very well if it's square. So we invented a round one, and boy, wasn't that a genius idea. We invent things based on our need, and those needs are out of the necessity of our life. We find a need, and then we are willing to pay the price for it. We're willing to do that because we need it. If we didn't need it, we wouldn't pay the price for it. If we never wanted it, we wouldn't pay the price for it. Have you ever watched those TV shows where they invent some silly things? And they're the shopping network, you know, and you buy them as seen on TV. You know, every now and then there's those one thing you're like, oh, I'd like to try that. But then there's those really dumb things, you know, where they got like a holder on your chest here, you know, or something. One of the things they invented that I love so much, I'm an iPhone fanatic. I'm an iPad fanatic. I love Apple stuff. I'm an Apple guy. And they invented this thing because when you're laying in bed, it you wrap it around your neck and it holds your phone in front of your face. And your hand's free. For $4, that's the greatest invention of all time. You know how hard it is to keep your phone in front of your face? And even if you're falling asleep, it falls on your face. If you drop it on your face, that hurts. But this thing holds it right there. I fell asleep watching preaching while I was up at the camp with that thing in front of my face. I was so happy. $4 out of need. That thing is a great invention. Do you realize this morning that the greatest thing God has ever given you was the one thing that you needed, and that was Jesus. And out of the necessity of life, you need him. You need him every day. You need him today. You need him tomorrow. You'll need him the next minute you leave or whatever. What's going on? You're going to need Jesus. You need Jesus. Amen. Then there are times in our relationship with the Lord and in our walk in life that need comes out of struggle. Just the other day, I was driving, we were in Heber, and we were taking supplies up for winter camp, and boy, we had a trip up there. It snowed, man, from Flagstaff all the way there, and there was a point where my truck was literally fishtailing going up a mountain, and I was trying to keep my truck on the road, and I didn't have to tell my son to buckle up. He buckled up without any question, because cliffs on either side, and we're going, I mean, it's crazy. I was afraid we weren't going to make it. It was that bad. And we got there. Don't say, oh, Gerald. He's the guy who told me to go that way. So he's lucky I didn't kick him out and make him walk. Amen. So we get to the camp. Everything's good. And we're making fun of Gerald, you know. Take the scenic route, he says. You know, it'll be fun, he says. It'll be nice. We were making so much fun of him all the way up there. And we get to camp, and we unload, we do our thing, and we leave the next morning. I head out at 8:30 in the morning, and we're heading back. My goal is I want to be home by noon so I can have some time during the day to get some things done. And when I get on the road, I make it not even 30 minutes down the road, and my truck overheats. And I'm between Heber and Holbrook on Highway 377. There ain't nothing there. It is a snowy, snowy road, and I have to find a place to pull over and pray that cars will be able to get around me without hitting me. Pulled over on the side. I'm thankful for the Lord giving me patience, because most generally I am not a patient man. And I was very glad that the Lord instilled some patience that day. I was like, oh, it's okay. No big deal. The Lord's here. It's good. And the needless to say, at 9 o'clock, we broke down. 11 o'clock, we finally got to Holbrook, which was literally 12 miles. Took me 3 hours to go 12 miles. I had to pull the car over, let it cool down, start it, drive again. When we got to the place, the mechanics, when we got to the mechanic place where they fixed my truck, the guy said, well, it probably could be expensive. I go, I don't care. I just want it to work right. It might be your water pump. I don't care. Just fix it. It might be about a $400 job. I'll pay it. I don't care. I'll put it on a credit card. I'll go out there and I will hold a cardboard sign and I will ask for money if I don't have it. I will get this money to you. You just fix it. That's what I said in my mind, because there was no price too high. I was stranded. I didn't want to be stranded. I didn't care to be stranded. There's no price too high. There are times in our life where God will put us in the rut so that we will see that there's no price too high to have Jesus. There's no price too high. He is worth everything you pay. Jesus said, you haven't forsaken nothing. You haven't lost a thing. There's nothing you've given up that isn't rewarded to you that you gave up. So be willing to surrender it, because one day it's going to be rewarded to you and it's going to be a blessing in your life. Jesus said, don't make treasures on earth. Put your treasure in heaven. Put your treasure there. Because there's a price. Christian, you're a Christian, you love Jesus, praise the Lord. But now pay the price for fellowship. I said, pay the price for fellowship.